Hi, and welcome to Pastor's Ponderings. I'm Pastor Kevin.
And I'm Pastor Ryan.
And we're glad you're able to join us.
We look forward to diving into this past Sunday's sermon and other things that are going on in our world. We hope that you enjoy your time with us this week.
Well, good morning. Just hang on. It is
afternoon. 30 minutes into the afternoon.
Good afternoon, Pastor Ryan.
Good afternoon, Pastor Kevin.
Great message Sunday. Thank you for sharing from your heart. It was very heartfelt. I know at one point you mentioned your experience at camp that brought some emotion forward for you.
Yes.
And you thought back of how drastically the change had come into your life because of the presence of Christ and his sanctifying power.
Yeah.
And but the message itself was Christ our sanctifier.
Right.
And it was a great message. I really enjoyed it. Coupled up with communion, it fit like hand in glove.
Oh, it did. It was beautiful the way it
I thought it was worked out. Great hand, sort of a dovetail there. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe I could just ask you, while you were talking, you were mentioning the Spirit of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And, normally I think most people would say, well, that's the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And it's true.
Yeah.
He is the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
But why do you think he's tagged in the Alliance kind of doctrinal world? Why is he tagged the Spirit of Christ as opposed to just simply saying the Holy Spirit?
Yeah. It's interesting because we believe in a triune God, the Father, God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons, one God, and they each have different roles. Mm-hmm. And we see this, when Christ says he humbled himself, he didn't, count equality with God a thing to be grasped, held on to, but he let it go and he submitted himself to the Father. So we see that submission there between the Father and the Son. And we see a bit of the same submission going on with the Holy Spirit. When he's talked about in Scripture, he's always, in the New Testament, when we see him, he's pointing towards Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, I'm going to send you the Spirit. The Father's going to send the Spirit and he's going to remind you of everything that I said. He's going to bring me, bring my presence to you. And he even in John, when he's promising the Holy Spirit to his disciples, he says, the Father will send one like me.
Mm.
And that word that's used there, there's like as in similar, but then there's like as in the same exact essence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Greek word that's used there to describe the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's the essence of Christ, the person of Christ. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit, he's very quick to show up, but then point your attention away from him and towards Christ.
Yeah.
It's really amazing because you read about the Holy Spirit, you read about, the gifts that he brings and the fruit that he produces.
Yeah.
And, you think in human terms, well, yeah, look at me, look what I bring you.
Yeah.
But the Spirit seems to operate in a way that says, no, these things all come from Christ.
Right.
These things all come from the Son, the second person of the Trinity. And he's pointing people, he's drawing people to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's why, in Alliance, you hear that terminology a lot, the Spirit of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you look at the relationship among the Trinity, that's how he operates, is he's bringing the presence of Christ wherever he goes.
Yeah. And Christ was filled with the Spirit.
That's right.
We know that he, without measure, we know that he came in the Spirit and performed many deeds.
Right.
Acts, I think it is 12 or something. I can't remember where exactly in Acts where it talks about, it describes his ministry as being filled with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And yet at the same time, that he was living out the characteristics and the essence of his perfect divinity as a human.
That's right.
So how did he accomplish that except for with the Spirit's power?
Mm-hmm.
But then he turns around and he says, now I'm going to breathe on you and give you the Spirit.
Right.
So then the Spirit comes to us, but the focus of the Spirit is not to say, I'm here.
Right.
Not like Jesus did.
No.
The Spirit wasn't the Messiah.
No.
Jesus is the Messiah.
That's right.
The Spirit came as kind of the empowering presence of the divine presence of God. But it was always about Jesus, if I draw all men to me,
that's right. Like if
I am lifted up,
that's right.
It isn't about the Spirit being lifted up.
The Spirit is that, the almost like the operational aspect of drawing and drawing people to Christ, and you know, filling people with the presence of Christ. Kind of His role, is pointing to Jesus, pointing to Jesus, and it isn't a lesser role by any means. It's not that the Holy Spirit is less important or anything like that.
No.
It's just we see this beauty in the relationship of the Godhead between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all equal but distinct roles, and the way they operate, it's amazing. There's no competition.
No.
There's no, you know, in Philippians how it says Jesus didn't count equality with God a thing to be held on to. Like he fully submitted to His role as the Son, as the second person of the Trinity, and the Holy Spirit same way, fully embraces His role, drawing all people to Christ.
And Jesus did say, it's good for you that I go away.
Right.
Because then I can send the one who is like me, who is my essence.
Yeah.
Right. So again, you get the strong impression that it's a healthy thing for us to know and be filled with the Spirit and understand the baptism of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But it always seems to be short-circuited in our language. We never fully go all the way around circle to say, oh, it's about Jesus.
Right.
It's actually His Spirit in me. So He's the one who sent, like you said, the Father sent the Spirit. That's what the Scripture says. It also says, I will send.
I will send,
So it's both the Father and the Son sending the Spirit to make what is known between the two of them to us.
Yeah.
So I guess it's a very interesting role that the Spirit has. And sometimes I get a little bit, I'm not going to say nervous or worried or anything that strong, but I always have maybe a question mark in my mind when there's so much emphasis on the Holy Spirit and not enough on Jesus.
Right.
Because really that's, as I understand the Scripture, that's who is my righteousness.
That's right.
Who is my holiness.
Yes.
He is my holiness.
It is Jesus.
It's not, but it is the Holy Spirit too. So.
Right. But it's again, like you have this, I think I shared this with you before, this, you know, if you want to pull out a nice, you know, $100 word, $1 million word, pneumatological shift that occurred some point in the early 1900s, where that emphasis was kind of taken off of Christ and shifted towards the Holy Spirit and almost a shift towards what the Holy Spirit gives us. And I think we have to be careful with that, because we can find ourselves seeking the gifts as opposed to the giver of the gifts. And if we understand the Holy Spirit, I think, correctly, in that He is the avenue of bringing Christ, the person, well, it's not about the stuff. It's about the person.
Right.
And so when we pray for the Holy Spirit, well, do we just want the gifts of the Spirit, or do we want God Himself?
Yeah.
Do we want Christ Himself?
Yeah.
So we got to share with your kind of question mark in that regard of, if we allow that focus to be taken off of Christ to the Holy Spirit, are we missing out? And like, we also can't go the other way. We also can't forget the Holy Spirit, because that's who brings the presence of Christ to us. And so we need to cry out for the Holy Spirit. We need to cry out for the filling of the Holy Spirit, because He is the one. It's only by Him that we receive the presence of Christ. It's only by the Holy Spirit that we come to know Christ as Savior. It's only through the Holy Spirit that the presence of Christ comes to dwell within us, that we receive the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. It's by His Spirit. But the focus always has to remain on Christ.
Right. So even in the healing, like this coming Sunday, we're going to have a healing time, right? And we know that the Spirit of God brings the presence of Christ to heal. But what you think about John and Peter in the temple courts after Jesus had resurrected, and that beggar was there in the eastern gate, and they said, you know, we don't have any gold, we don't have anything to give you, except for what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Not the name of the Holy Spirit.
No.
Get up and walk. Even though it is the power of the Holy Spirit that does the work. So it's a little bit like, It's like you invoke the authority of the name of Christ, but the actual power is from the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Because Jesus had to go away. It's That's not right. him.
No.
It's his spirit.
Yeah.
Right. So, so it's a beautiful kind. Like, I love what you said. It's, it kind of goes round and round. Your illustration of the balloon on Sunday was excellent because you talked about how there is much more. What was the word? I thought it was such a good word. You put a little bit of air in, but it wasn't like to the capacity.
The capacity, right. Capacity. There's so much more capacity.
That's the word. I thought that's a great word because with Jesus's spirit, our capacity to have more of, which is kind of weird language,
because
you'll get more of the Holy Spirit or the more of the Spirit of Christ. You have the Spirit of Christ,
right.
Like you said very clearly. But it's more of his role, his activity, his presence changing us,
right,
is what we're after.
Definitely.
Yeah. So our language doesn't do us any good. It doesn't help
us. Oh, I know,
Because we kind of do short sell the Holy Spirit in that sense. We only think of what he gives us,
right,
is what you said.
Yeah.
Because he brings to us who is Christ. But in the process, there is clear teaching that we need to be constantly seeking the filling of the Holy Spirit. But for what? To what end?
Yeah.
Right? To what end? And I think sometimes that's where I struggle, even in my own life, but I think even in teaching.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we want the filling and the baptism of the Spirit for something.
Yeah.
Other than for the presence of Christ.
Yeah.
And his work in our lives, which may not be demonstrative.
Right.
It could be very quiet, very and subtle, quiet, but still powerful, like the whisper, you know, when Elijah was at the mouth of the cave.
Right. Yeah. There was a whirlwind and all that. No. Yeah. Still small voice. Yeah.
It was the small voice that made him cover up.
Right.
And, you know, the rest of it was spectacular.
Right.
But it wasn't the Spirit. It wasn't the voice of God. So very interesting times that, you know, I think what we want to do is we want to have a regular time where we are seriously saying, let's ask the Father to fill us with the Spirit. But to what end? I think maybe that's where we fall a little short.
Yeah.
To what end?
And I think it's something that you have to grapple with, because in reality, Jesus is enough. Knowing him.
Yeah.
That's, he himself will give us the greatest joy, greatest fulfillment in life. But there's all the other stuff that, but then there's also this, and I want this, and I also want that, and this is amazing, and that's amazing. And but getting down to the nitty-gritty of, is Jesus, do I really see Jesus as enough?
Yeah.
Do I really see his presence as really all that I need?
Yeah.
And everything else is just, you know, you might say icing on the cake, but really not even necessary.
No, yeah.
Because he's the cake and the icing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, one of the things is semantics, I know, but I used to play this little game in my head. Now, if you think about someone's life, like we're going through the book of Mark, which is 16 chapters of Jesus' life.
Yeah.
What do you do with the rest of his life? Like those are high moments, key moments.
Yeah.
And I know Luke tells us at the end of Luke that, you know, if we were to write everything that happened in a book, it would fill the world, you know, so I know there's more.
Right.
But what about just walking? How, you know, you walk from the road between Emmaus and Jerusalem with the, you know, the two fellows talking about, like that takes some time.
That's
a couple hours at least.
Right.
You know, where you're walking along.
All the other traveling you did.
Exactly. So it wasn't all just big bang, boom.
Right.
Going crazy. There was a lot of just walking along. And I think we tend to gravitate towards the wow and the spectacular and the sizzle and the sparkle.
Right.
And the, you know, I mean, who doesn't? I mean, we love that stuff because we're normal, I think.
Right. Yeah.
But I think it's also equally as important that we know the Spirit of Christ in the quietness of the moments. And I think this idea, like we're doing this fast, this 40-day fast for our country, for ourselves, for churches, and this notion that you set aside time to be with him.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because otherwise what would we be doing? Well, we'd be eating and carrying on, right?
Yeah.
And you think, well, is that not also in his presence? Is that not also, you know, like, but it's not as intense. It's not as focused. It's not as open or submissive, maybe is the word you used.
Yeah.
And that whole thing of how do I capacity, how do I expand my balloon, to use that illustration that you had, so that it's an ever-increasing capacity without being intentional. Without, I mean, there's grace, thankfully.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
But it's one of those things where along the way, and I wonder if there's this hunger or thirsting through crisis, you know, through life, through different events. I mean, every day changes. Like there's some, we don't know what's going to happen in the next 3 hours.
Right.
There could be calamity in the next 3 hours. Who knows? Or it could just be normal.
We just go on.
But where is God in the midst of that? Where is his spirit?
Definitely.
Like, and how am I relating and relationally walking with? Like that's, I guess, the words of scriptures.
Right.
As you receive Christ, so also walk in
walk
him.
Walk in him, yeah.
Well, how do I do that? Really? I mean, it's just a walk, right?
That's right.
Go for a walk.
Yeah. Well, everything you do, what is that passage?
Under the, as under the
Lord. As under the Lord, right. Everything.
Word, deed,
what word, you deed, mean? Everything. Yeah. And I think that's, we can't forget about the power of almost intentional, I'm trying to think of the right word to use, but just the average day in and day out, the power of doing that with Christ, in Christ. And we look at those moments and we look back at those moments. Like I mentioned my youth camp experience, and there's been a few other of those moments that I can look back in my life and I say, wow, like I had those in those moments. I remember God speaking so clearly. I remember those things. And but we can't just depend on those things, I don't think.
No.
Because the memory of them fades. We're human and our memory isn't as spot on as we'd like it to be.
Yeah.
We need those daily reminders, that daily just walking with Jesus and being okay if we have seasons where that's just what it looks like.
Yeah.
Don't think that you're missing out because the Spirit's speaking to you in a whisper right now. And maybe you see somebody else where it's like, wow, the Holy Spirit's like yelling at them and I want some of that.
Yeah.
Well, God knows what you need.
Yeah.
It's he knows exactly what you need, sizzles, right?
Yeah, that is, and again, the one of the names of the Spirit is the breath, right? And you think, well, breath just happens.
Yeah.
Like it's not, I just took a breath, you know,
every
time it happens, right? It's just happening.
Right.
And it's a good thing because we keep living.
Right.
And so you get that impression that this life that's lived by the breath of God is truly, but it has those moments. It's truly average every day.
Yeah.
But it has, like even in the scripture, when he breathed life in, well, what a dynamic thing.
Yeah.
Right? Or when Jesus turned to his disciples and breathed the Spirit onto them. What was a unique moment?
Yeah.
So you get to have those unique breaths that you take.
Definitely.
But they're not all like that.
No. You know?
So it's, I think in some ways you have to ground yourself in the fact that this is a walk. It's like, I love, who wrote this? Anyway, the title of his book, Peterson, the title of his book, Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And I love, and the book was okay. The title was phenomenal. Like, I've never forgotten that title because it is a little bit like that. It's a long obedience in the same direction. But that does not exclude the fact that when you do obey, there are moments of absolute spectacular senses of God's presence.
Right. And I think we should pursue those.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. You know, in the same way that we can't be disappointed if they don't, you know, don't, you know, say, oh, well, you know, that'll never happen, so I'm not going to pursue it.
No.
Still pursue those moments because they're powerful. And it's those, you know, God knows what we need and when we need it. Yeah. And as we grow and he's like, okay, you're ready. Okay, you're ready. Here's some more. Here's some more.
Yeah.
And always be ready, always be expectant and ready and pursuing those things. I don't think that's wrong.
Let me increase your capacity.
Right.
Yeah.
No,
I think that's the walk of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And I think in some ways we can talk in sort of abstract terms, like this filling of the Spirit is this, the walk of the Spirit is this.
Right.
But it's not abstract. It's very much engaged and kinetic in that sense.
Right.
Real. I can touch it. I can feel his presence.
Definitely.
I can't see Jesus.
No.
But I can know his presence through the Spirit. And I can sense him, and I can have those moments of, wow, this is good. This is something where God is speaking to me.
Yeah.
And it's never in a strange voice. I wish it would be in an English voice, you know, with one of those actors.
Right. Yeah.
But it's just my voice.
Right.
That I hear in my head, and it's him.
Yeah.
And so but at the same time, you say that out loud, you go, well, how do I know it's him if it's just my voice, you know? But you get a sense that there's something unique about
absolutely.
This moment.
Yeah.
Where you're in his presence and it's alive. There's joy in it, maybe peace in it.
Yeah.
Whatever you might need, he is in that moment.
Yeah.
And you're receiving that from him.
Yeah.
And it's full circle back to, well, I want to go back and have more of the Holy Spirit. Well, actually, it was the Spirit of Christ.
Yeah.
It was Christ himself.
That's right.
That was coming to meet those needs or fill you with that sense of his presence or whatever.
Yeah. Probably about, I'm trying to think how many years ago this would have been. Probably 5 years ago now, maybe a little 5.5 years ago. We were in a season of transition, and I was first, it was kind of a season where my understanding of the Spirit was expanding, and I was learning and growing and what that looked like in my life. And I remember, and I don't say this by any means to speak badly about, you know, any church service, but I remember going into the service and they were preaching, the pastor was preaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And at the end, he said, if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, come forward. Mm-hmm. And I'm born and raised Baptist boy. The idea of baptism in the Holy Spirit was not something that was talked about. Filling with the Holy Spirit.
Baptist boy, but not necessarily the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Right, yeah. Baptist and as opposed, you know, in terms of, you know, water baptism at conversion.
I'm there.
Right? I understand. And I remember in the sermon, what was said was there's one of two things that accompany the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He said either speaking in tongues or a word of prophecy. Hmm. And you just kind of left it at that. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, wow, I've never experienced either one of those. Mm-hmm. I want the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And again, I was very new in my understanding of this whole idea, this whole concept.
Yeah.
And so I went forward for prayer and I was prayed over to receive, you know, it was termed the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit. And I remember I started just crying and I had this immense sense of peace. Mm. And again, not an audible voice, but just this sense of, you have my spirit. It's okay to be Baptist.
Mm-hmm. It's okay, kid.
Right?
Child, it's all
because right. Because it was just that, I was questioning, like, have I missed out? Mm-hmm. And, you know, do I need to experience speaking in tongues? Do I need to experience a word of prophecy? Mm-hmm. Do I need to have this grandiose thing to have the Spirit? And I just had this immense peace. Mm-hmm. You have my Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then later on, as I'm, you know, taking this Alliance History and Thought course and going through New Workers Onboarding and learning and growing more in my understanding of the Holy Spirit. And I'm remembering these moments of my childhood, like that camp moment. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize what that was until this past year when it finally clicked, like, oh, that was a filling of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, yeah. That was a time when I experienced a special filling of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I even have a vaguer, much more vague recollection of a time at kids camp. And I don't remember where, but this moment just as a kid where I'm like, yeah, that was like a beginning extra filling of the Holy Spirit and these different seasons you go through. And I just don't think we can put God in a box either direction, whether you put him in a box saying that experience doesn't happen, or if you put him in a box and say, well, this is how the experience has to happen. Mm-hmm. I think we need to be careful. We don't do that.
Yeah.
Because God is so much bigger and he works in so much greater ways. And for some people in a season, it's that still small voice, like you said, just daily walking with him. In other seasons, it's that moment where you'll always remember it. You'll always look back on it.
Yeah, very true.
But he knows what we need when we need it.
Yeah.
And we can trust him.
Yeah. I think that would align itself with what he said in 1 Corinthians 13 about the Spirit of God gives He's the one who gives the gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, if he wants to give you the gift of tongues, he will.
Right.
Or yeah. The gift of prophecy, he will. Mm-hmm. That's his doing.
Right.
Now, I can ask him for it. I can seek for it. I can look
absolutely.
For it.
Absolutely.
Pray for it.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I have to leave it in his hands,
yeah.
whether he's going to provide those ecstatic experiences
right.
where there's the demonstrative
you right.
know, aspect to it.
Yeah.
And I would never discount that. If someone claims that, you know what, I spoke in tongues when the Spirit filled me, I totally believe it.
Great. Awesome.
Right there in the pages
fantastic,
of Scripture.
Yeah.
So don't be shy.
Right.
But at the same time, a little bit like you, growing up in the Alliance, I went to a lot of different, especially Vineyard, because I had a good couple of good pastor friends who were in the Vineyard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they were huge on experiences. Like you go to the
right.
services, right? Laying on of hands,
yeah.
doing the thing where you fall to the ground.
Right.
What was that called?
Slain in the Spirit.
Slain in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's one. Slain in the Spirit and... There was gift of tongues. There was prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And the pastor asked me if I would like to come and join him one day in one of these meetings. I'm like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
No problem. So I'm over there and
right.
you know, these people start coming to the front and Pastor Wes says, hey, Kevin, come on up. We're going to need your help. So I go up there and I go to this person who's come up for prayer to be filled with the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And I say, now I'm going to pray for you. And this is what I'm expecting going to happen. God's going to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
So be prepared that he's going to be, it's going to be him.
Right.
It's not going to be something else.
Yeah.
And so we asked her what her need was. And so we started praying and then she just suddenly fell over, like just fell to the ground. Like, wham,
yeah.
down. I'm like, oh, okay. So then I went to her and I began to pray over her.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the sense inside of me, this is fake.
Mm.
And I had no more words for her. I just left her there.
Wow.
And I just walked away from that.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is all a show for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not comfortable
right.
with what had happened because I think she thinks something was happening.
Yeah.
But to me, it was as soon as I got close to that, I had this sense in my spirit, this isn't real.
This isn't real.
Don't go
yeah.
near it. And I'm okay.
Well, not yeah.
I left it.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, probably, you know, I'm not sure of the timelines, but I'm saying within a few months of that happening.
Mm-hmm.
In our church, in the Alliance Church, we had a after the service time where we said, okay, we're
yeah.
going to pray for the Holy Spirit, just some similar kind
yeah.
of meeting. And if you want to be prayed for, you come forward,
yeah.
we'll pray for you. So this person came forward, like there's a few people, and we came forward, and she was standing, or it was a she
mm-hmm.
was standing there, and we began to pray over, and instantly she started to fall backwards. Like just really go back.
Yeah.
She landed in a chair.
Yeah.
Because nobody was behind
yeah.
her. So she landed in a chair and she was in this kind of, I don't know, state.
Mm-hmm.
But we knew it was the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
There was no hesitation.
Right.
It was like, oh, look, God
yeah.
is doing something here. And so she was slain in the Spirit.
Right.
So there's counterfeit. I guess the point of the story is
right.
there's counterfeit
yeah.
and fake,
mm-hmm.
but there's also real
right.
and genuine.
Yeah.
And that's what I plead for.
Make definitely.
It real,
yeah.
Make it deep, meaningful.
Absolutely.
And I think back to a time when I was sort of in the same kind of boat as you, kind
yeah.
of figuring my way along.
Right.
And I would go to those meetings with, you know, especially the Vineyard. And I was been a pastor for a few years already.
Mm-hmm.
But I would go there and I would say, Holy Spirit, I only want what
yeah.
you want for me.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing more.
Right.
And it was sort of a way of protecting myself
yeah.
from the fake,
mm-hmm.
but opening myself to what was
right.
real.
Yeah.
And I would give that advice today to anybody,
definitely.
You know, who's going to be involved in any of these kinds of meetings or
right.
times with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure they're genuine. The scripture
absolutely.
Clear. Test.
Test the spirit.
Every
yeah.
spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Not just some.
Right. Every.
Every. Know
yeah.
that this is from the Lord or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that just takes some discernment. And sometimes
yeah.
you need someone with the gift
right.
of discernment,
yeah.
discerning of spirits
mm-hmm.
to be able to help you with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, good chat today.
Yes. I think that's a good, very great.
Going.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, I know I'm encouraged going away from here and I hope our listeners are as well.
Hopefully. Do.
Pursue the spirit.
Yeah, absolutely. Hope you enjoyed the
yes.
journey with us now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Pastor's Ponderings. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to diving in again with you next week. But until then, keep loving God and serving people.